Okay.
Josh, where are you? Like, I don't even see you.
I don't see
hello.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, there he is.
You fucking weirdo. You blowing yourself?
Yeah.
What are you
of
doing?
Of course. The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Guys, Comedy Store Podcast, and we're here being very positive. We have cameras set up. We have a great guest tonight. My co-host is missing. Daylight Savings has fucked his life because his daughter doesn't want to go to bed on time. But we have the great Bobby Lee here.
Ooh.
Do you like that I said the great?
You know what I'm beginning to feel?
I'm
literally feeling a love fest with you and I.
Let me ask
when
you
I
this.
See your eyes, it flutters.
Really?
When you look at me.
Oh, my eyes flutter?
Yeah.
Is it tears?
No.
Like, you're saying like...
No, it's like, you know, I'm auditioning for America's Got Talent or whatever.
You are.
No, this is how... And you're like a judge that really likes me, and you're going to do the fucking golden ticket thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to press the
thing. I'm going to be like...
Yeah. That's what I feel from you.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to stop that.
Because you said great.
I did say great.
Yeah.
But my question is this.
I love you.
Do you regret our...
I love you.
Rekindling
no, I love
friendship?
Dude, it's the best.
Why?
Because for so long I avoided you. I hated you.
Like a hard hate.
Like it was like I was even thinking like, I hope she dies so I can go to the fucking gravesite and do things.
Like what would you do on the because this gets me excited.
It does?
No, I'm serious. Like people, because when we were kids, it was like there was like this grave, Purdy's grave. And if you did something nasty to it, like weird shit would happen.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. Like
I would like pee on the grave, shit on it. I would come a little bit too.
Then I would fucking haunt you.
You would?
I would haunt you.
I know, you would haunt me.
I would, like, you wouldn't believe, like, a filthy Irish.
What, if I would have died, what would you have done? Would you have been happy?
I would have not thought one way or the other about
that
it.
That hurts
not
even fucking worse, man. That fucking hurts even worse, man.
Yeah, I would have just not even batted my fluttering eyes.
But now.
Now I would feel like, oh, he got corona. Like, that's.
Yeah.
God, are you nervous about this?
Dude,
like,
I took a nap today, and I was like, because I'm going to Denver tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So I took a nap. I woke up, and then my girlfriend goes, "Do you hear?" And she goes, "Forrest Gump got it." And I go, and as soon as Forrest Gump got it, it got closer.
It got real.
I don't know why. Why is it that when he got it, it got a little bit more real?
Even though he got in Australia.
It doesn't matter.
But in our brain,
yeah,
he's right here in Hollywood.
Yeah. I think that's
like,
what it
we
is.
We all work together.
No, we don't.
I mean, I don't.
I'll never see him. I'll never meet him. You know what I mean? He's in a completely different, you know
like,
what I mean?
But, I can't even meet Wilson. That's how fucked
right,
up.
That's how fucked up. Yeah. The fucking volleyball.
Yeah. I can't even buy, like, whatever. But I feel awful, him and his wife.
Especially, the dude, if he dies.
But.
If he dies, mass hysteria.
If he dies, he dies. sorry, it's a Rocky thing.
Yeah.
It has to happen. But my thing is this, don't you think now that this is weird, but because he's such a high profile, they're going to fucking scurry to come up with a vaccine. Like, yeah. Scurry. That's like our president.
I think because he is the most likable. He is one of the most likable people on planet Earth.
Yeah.
You know, you can name a celebrity and people are either going to hate him or love him.
Sure.
Like people love Ellen, but I know a lot of people that hate her.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, love, hate, you know,
sure.
Roseanne,
yep.
More hate now
a lot
than
more
love.
Hate.
You know,
she jumped on the hate train.
Me, there's a lot of people that
so
hate me.
So many hates. Yeah.
I know, but I could see it on the internet. People
I know,
say it all the time.
Hate
like,
me too.
Yeah, they
it.
Hate me. And then, but. He's one of those guys that's universally liked.
Yeah.
And I think that if he somehow passes away from it, or even him by him getting it, it just causes like more of an awareness and fear, I think. It's
and
weird.
They would cancel America across the board like, you guys fucking killed Hanks.
I know.
Like,
I know.
So
if
they got to figure it
they gotta
out.
They got to figure it out. And, you know, I was listening to Rogan's podcast as
me
well.
Me too.
You were? And it was freaking me out. Was it freaking you out?
If I text Joe, I said, I'm watching this with a hazmat suit. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous, but this guy is calming in a way.
Rogan is?
No, not Joe. The
The guy,
Michael.
Yeah, from Minnesota.
Because he's so smart and so specific with every answer, wasn't like when he said, "I'm not trying to," like Joe was like, "You're scaring me." He's like, "I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you aware."
Right.
I was like, "Yeah." And so he's like, he's smart, but he's not. Like, he's not saying, oh, we're going to fix this. It's all going to be fine. Just everybody calm down.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but we need to be aware. Like,
yeah. It's good. Well, when he said that this is just the beginning.
Exactly.
That's what scared me.
It's going to get a lot
worse.
It's
the beginning? Because it feels like at the end. You
know? we've been joking about this for two months now.
Yeah. And now it's just starting?
Yeah. I've been getting yelled at as a racist on Twitter from a post Josh Wolf put a month ago.
Why? What'd you say? What'd you say?
It was an Asian girl, cute girl. She bit like something that looked like maybe a squid. I don't know. And it squirted everywhere.
Yeah.
It was more of a phallic thing than anything. Like, but he put it up and I'm like, is that how the coronavirus started? Just as a joke.
Very innocent. Yeah, that's a very innocent joke.
And everybody was like, you're spreading misinformation. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like
some people
racist.
Call it the Chinese coronavirus. You know what I call it?
The Chinaman.
The coronavirus. You know, so.
I like you say Chinaman.
Chinaman's great.
How many times did Dice call you Chinaman on your podcast?
None.
Not once.
Not only that, is it what was great about Dice, thank you so much for getting Dice on.
Who cares? It's not that.
It's like Spade. I've asked Spade 10,000 times. David Spade.
Really?
Yeah.
He wants to do it, but he's just so busy
and stuff like that. But you need a middleman sometimes to push.
Yeah.
Right? And you did that for me. But what happened is that he became one of the most beloved guests we've ever had.
Yeah, he loved it. He loved it.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, a lot of people reached out from Bobby's.
Yeah. And so hopefully, you know, it'll be easier for him to do it the next time. But
yeah.
But we really want him back. He was that good.
His clips, I saw one the other day, something about complimenting a girl.
Yes.
Like you're not allowed to compliment.
Yeah.
But that was his old manager that did that to his wife.
Oh, really? That's so funny.
But he was so innocent. He was like, hey, I really like those pants.
Yeah.
And Andrew freaked out. But it was that genuine, like such a throwaway. Like, hey, and they were real colorful.
Yeah.
Like anybody would have said it because they were literally like asking for a compliment pants.
Yeah, he's also, to me, a living, no, he's a living legend to me.
Of course,
you're so used to see him. You guys were sexual.
Yes, he was deep in that.
Right, you're deep in that fucking, I don't know why, but.
We were just talking about that. Yeah. I don't.
How?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, Dave
You
Taylor,
sucked his dick?
Of course. What?
It's just weird.
I'm not the only cocksucker in the room.
Yeah. All right, bring back the past.
Okay. No, I'm saying, so what? A sexual thing is a sexual thing.
Right.
So what?
Yeah.
But we were together for like 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And Dave Taylor was like, I think he got you in his Dice vortex.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like you were climbing to get out. And I was like, oh, there's Eleanor.
Yeah.
And then people would be like, why'd you guys break up? And I'm like, oh, I regained consciousness. But I really feel that.
Yeah.
Like,
what is that like?
Consciousness?
No, just like, being with him.
It's a
sleeping on the same bed. I mean, I can't imagine.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I remember like we would film here. Remember he would film all those dailies, whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever. He would film and then we'd go watch them. He would call them the dailies.
Right.
At his apartment.
Yeah.
And it'd be like me, Ranazizi, Ari, Simone, and Ari and Ranazizi. They were watching in the living room. And they didn't know we were dating.
Yeah.
And then I came out in like pajamas and they're like, the fuck is
what
happening?
What the fuck is
like,
happening?
Even Ari was like, yeah. What is this? What is she doing?
Yeah.
Why does she have clothes?
And I would have been invited to those things if you didn't have that, right? If you and I didn't have that conflict, I would have been invited and I would have been a part of it.
You were in every video.
I understand, but I was never with the dailies. I never got to go to the apartment because of fucking you, right?
No point. But yes.
Yeah.
It's not because of me.
Yeah, and let me be honest. I'm not that big of a piece of shit.
Anyway,
because for you to now call me to show
Freddie
up
here. Freddie was helping him edit them, so.
I know, but just listen to me, though.
Okay.
For you to now, look at our relationship now.
Okay.
Right? Right?
Okay.
You fucking called me, right? And I looked at Kalilah, and I was doing stuff. I had shit, I had editing something. And I'm like, you know, I have to make it to the Eleanor thing.
No.
Yeah. My point is that in your, in you my, in, no, no, just, to- in my, just listen, okay? In my fucking world, right? You come, you're very, I want to, you know what I mean? Prove to you that I'm but not that piece of shit that you thought that I was.
I don't think you're a piece of shit, even if you said no. I mean, look, think about, what you put it in water.
I'm sorry, my bad.
Think about last week with the live video. You got. You just said, I'm going to get a drink and then, who cares? Or 2 weeks ago. I know,
but,
I don't get upset about that.
But be honest,
that.
Though. Be
you're...
honest. That, but you, the things that you thought about me back in the day.
Sure,
were,
because
were
I didn't know you.
Misconstrued.
Because I didn't know you.
And they were on a house of lies.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A house of lies.
What house of lies?
I'm just saying is that you, they're, it, all human beings, if you're listening out there, right?
They're
there
listening.
Are negative qualities that people have, right? And I have a lot. I'm a liar.
I have a lot of negative qualities.
I'm a deceiver. I live in the shadows. Right? But
fuck, that's I have, terrible. Those are terrible
things. I know. But I have positive things as well.
Okay, you what are they? But, see if you can name them fast like that.
Yeah, I'm a giver.
Okay.
I'm present.
Okay.
Right? And I'm good to the people that I love.
That's true.
All right. Okay. So, and I take care of people. I do. And
that's
and,
great.
Yeah. And I'm also, I've helped a lot of people. I like to help people.
By the way, like we always say, no one has ever come on here and spoken negatively about you.
So
including
why?
Myself.
Oh.
I never did that.
Okay.
I just didn't speak on it.
Yeah.
Like if someone brought it up, I would just let it, oh, cool. But literally, like so many people.
I have to.
All those times we weren't talking, we would say, how great. Why are you getting so close?
Because I have to be I have to be real with you right now. Okay?
Is he going to make out, Josh?
No, I'm not going to make out. Right. I would never kiss you.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I don't feel good.
But I want to say this, all right? That I truly, right? If you ever wanted something from me, I would go out of my way to help you. Number one. And number two, bitch, are you ugly fucking.
I am an ugly
bitch. Yeah, Philadelphia bitch, all right? This is a joke. This is how we talk as comics, okay? So don't fucking
tough.
Cancel
he knows,
me. Yeah.
Please.
But I...
My father helped him survive.
I'm getting to the point with you where I really... You're one of my favorite people.
All right. We're going to have to put a strain in this.
I just lied a little bit.
A lot of it.
No, not a lot of it.
That was the deceit. That was the deceit.
No, me,
thing?
Now I'm backing up a little bit going, I don't know. But the thing is that I really do. I am fond of you.
And I'm fond of you.
That feels so good. That's all I wanted from
it.
You. That
so
you're
that
fond
was
of
deceiving
me.
Deceiving that you just made me say that.
Like, I know.
It's not enough for me to like say hello.
Mm-hmm. No, because you know that when we see each other, we're playing this role, right?
Well,
where
silly.
It's like, yeah, you pretend that I gross you out. I try to attack you.
That's not fully,
it is. It is. It's giggles. It's shits and giggles. And then we
toes are out. I get uncomfortable.
I know. We giggle like little school kids, like we're little kids, and it's a joy. It's a real joy.
It is. I'm jealous that you have these. I love those.
Yeah.
I didn't make them in this shirt, but I always have those.
You do?
Yeah. I don't know why.
But anyway, let's. You know, we should get to a point where we don't even ever have to talk about this.
No.
I think this should be the last time.
But I got to be honest. It's your insecurities that bring it up. I would never bring it up.
What do you mean? Well, you just spit on me. What
you, got, you got it.
I have.
Do we have any wipes?
Yeah.
Guys, Bobby needs a spray. Silkwood scrub.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't think that I did.
What?
I don't think that my insecurities bring up our fucking conflict.
But you did bring it up. I didn't bring it up.
Did I bring it up?
Roll the tape back.
I think I did bring it up. All
what
right,
if we
you're
had a
right.
Court reporter.
You're right. You're right. That was my bad. So
no,
I'll never.
I don't think of it.
Yeah, it's fun to bring it up though.
Well, maybe I did because I said, "Are you annoyed that we rekindled our relationship? Because now you have to like respond to my text messages or
yeah, but you know what?
But you don't have to do anything. You understand that? Like, please don't do that.
No, I want to do it,
and I love that you want to do it. Yeah. I love that you came in, but I'm saying like if. Don't feel obligated, she.
But
like,
the
I don't get mad.
But I want to say one last thing because this is what I've been thinking for the last 6 months, and I don't ever want to talk about it again. But how do I make it right with Princess Corey?
Ooh.
Because she's sometimes in the room, and then it's like, I want to say hi, but no one, I've never had the opportunity to ever, I can't just break the ice and walk up to her and go, let bygones be bygones,
now,
because it's personal. It's
It is personal, but also you're talking about somebody who's a little tad, maybe a little more than a tad, mentally not adjusted well.
She's going to hear. Are you going to get in trouble for saying that?
No. I love Corey. She knows
she's
this,
the best.
But
yeah.
I'm saying this, because her mind, and this is awful, what happened to her, obviously, she lost her husband.
Yeah.
Who was her everything. And when someone passes, you then make them even more of your everything.
Is she seeing anybody else?
Sure. It's not my business to put out there. But, you know, it's not an easy thing for her to move on. Mm-hmm. And then she's looking at her daughter, who looks exactly like him every day, you know? So it's a lot of like crazy shit. So we break her balls all the time, but
is the daughter
totally
funny too?
Cruz is very funny.
She is.
But she's not interested in stand up. She's
Damn
smarter
it.
Than us.
Damn it.
She's going to school. She's very, very good in school.
Oh, she is.
Corey was very good in school. Freddie was very smart. He just didn't like being told what to do. So he didn't even graduate high school.
I know.
You did know that?
Yeah. Because you have to understand that him and I initially were friends. We hung out
all the time.
Playing guitar late at night, singing and all that stuff. So it's like...
We would be at Mel's.
Yeah. I remember when he got overnight just really funny. And I got real jealous, you know?
Because in the beginning he was terrible, right?
He wasn't that terrible. He just hadn't found his voice. You know, I found mine later, mm-hmm. you know? It just takes time with some people. But with him, when it happened, you know, because him and I started around the same time, I thought, oh my God, he found it. And then when he started destroying rooms, I was like, I felt like I had to catch up or something, you know what I mean? And... So there was a little bit of envy on my part. But
I feel like everyone goes through that. Anybody you come up with, like because his best friend, Marcos, who did the documentary as well, he came to film me my third or fourth time doing stand-up. And he goes, whoa, you're way better than Freddie was in the beginning. And
I'm
like, oh my God, Marcos. Like, that's rude. He's dead. Don't disrespect.
Yeah.
But what he meant, because Freddie, you guys were young. How old were you when you started?
23.
Right. So you're young and you're like, I started when I was 35.
Yeah.
So it's late.
But I also have to defend us too, is that at that time, you have to understand that when I started in 1995.
Right.
Ethnics weren't.
Freddie was 90 because he had the tuba. He was playing the fucking tuba.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you have to understand back then in show business, it's not as if, you know, we had the greatest opportunities. It was much harder. Like now you see, you know, I talk to like Ali Wong or some of these younger comics, and they even say, man, we don't have to do the things that you used to have to do. Right. Like in terms of like doing auditions where it was all just Asian accents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like every audition was like, I remember one audition, I literally showed up, and this is not a joke, everyone was wearing a ninja outfit. And then
casting people?
For a casting people. And they were
brought my own samurai.
Yeah, but they were all with the hood, too.
Stop it
I'm not
now.
Kidding you. So I walked in like this, and they were like, hey, where's your outfit? I go, I don't know no ninja.
I'm Korean.
And what? They go, and they did, I don't remember, they going, all right, well, I read something. In a thick Asian accent. And I walked out of going, oh, I'm never going to make it in this business. This is insane. And that's the only thing I got.
You can't make it if you do that.
That's true. I mean, even.
Especially if you're white.
Yeah. It's a miracle that I somehow was able to like not quit. You know what I mean?
No,
you just can't quit.
Because it is like sometimes you just like.
I just tapped you.
Is that your toe, Bobby? Your toes are out. Ooh,
yeah.
I don't feel good.
Go ahead.
I need a Silkwood scrub down. Do you think Rick is... Anyway, abandoning. He's just like, I'm done. But no, so I'm saying like that because you know that Hollywood Shuffle. Remember that movie?
Loved it.
Oh my God, that was when they would be. Can you be more? It was Irera, Dom Irera.
Oh, that by Carrie. Oh, Lisa. Amazing. Yeah.
Can you be more black?
Yeah.
Think of that. Like to do that to any ethnic of any kind is so fucking awful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard though. If there's a part that they're looking for,
yeah.
Then what do you do?
Yeah, it's
then you just cast the real thing but at that point.
But I still had, I'll still do an accent if it's like if Scorsese, for instance, goes, you know,
he's
what
like
I mean?
Look,
yeah, like and you're doing a scene with De Niro and you're just like this Chinese guy and you need to have the accent.
Would you at that point say I'm Korean or no?
No, I would just say you want me to be Chinese. I'll Chinese. You know what I mean? And whatever it is, and they go, and I would fucking do it. Like, I was in the movie The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen, and he goes, you have to do an accent. I go, I don't, if I'm...
Well, he does every accent.
Right, and I was,
I
all the scenes were with
is.
Ben Kingsley. All my scenes were with Sir Ben Kingsley,
shit.
So I'm like, of course I'll do an accent.
Yeah.
But it was, you know...
You come in bowing.
Like, that's what I did. You know what I mean? And that was a real... But that experience was invaluable to me, because it's like, you know, I got to work with Ed Norton...
Wow.
And him and Sasha and, you know, all these
Sasha's
great people.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. But back in the day, man, I can't even believe. But now, here's anyone starting doing stand-up.
Okay.
You just can't ever quit because, you know, the dudes I started with, like, guys like Joey Marmo. Remember Joey Marmo?
Of course.
You know, every 4 years he'll show up at an open mic.
He would do that. My pussy stinks. What?
Yeah,
Mitzi
yeah.
would just be falling out of her chair. I'm like, what's happening right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
I love Marmo.
But Marmo yeah. could have made it if he just, there's Rick.
Oh, good.
If
you're
he
a Marmo. You said Marmo. Rick
yeah, yeah, Rick comes in, you know. But I'm just saying the kids out there.
He's talking to the kids now.
It's about literally like going up every night. This is a Comedy Store podcast.
Yes.
And
we do look for advice.
And if you honestly believe that, you have to really do some soul searching to see if you have it, by the way. A lot of comics have such, they don't have awareness. They don't have an ear. Like, I remember, I can't want to say his name, but.
Go for it.
I can't.
We have a disclaimer.
I don't want to hurt his feelings, but.
You just shit on Joey Marmo. I think we.
No, I didn't say,
on...
I know, because I just said that Joey Marmo would have made it if he would have not.
No, absolutely.
And
I agree.
Stayed in the game.
I agree a
you know
million
I mean?
Times.
I don't
over.
Even know who that is.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you remember
Welcome.
I had him speak at Mitzi's? Oh, were you here for that?
I don't think so.
Mitzi's.
He sounds like a loser who couldn't
not.
Cut it.
yeah. But I had this guy. I lived in an apartment building. There was a guy that was like an alternative comic that lived down the hallway. And he would knock on my door and go, I just killed. And he would play me, you know what I mean, his tapes. And you could hear just complete silence. And then every once in a while you'll hear, ha.
Yeah.
And look, right? And he had no self-awareness that he was legitimately bombing, right?
Yeah.
I've always had the polar opposite. You know, it's like I have to like be real and know how I'm doing for real.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if it's not at a certain level, you know what I mean? I have to, because people don't have an awareness. Have you, you know people like that.
I'm the opposite of that guy, in that like, I can do pretty well, and I'll get off stage and someone will be like, hey, that was a good set. I'm like, not really.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same way. I'd rather be that than the other way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've met tons of people who, like you're saying, like to be like, oh
so
man,
bad.
I crushed so hard tonight. And you're like, did you? Because I saw some of that set.
All of that.
Did I miss the crushing part?
Yeah.
Did you just shut it down after?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
Did you come back on after?
Yeah, it's so weird. Was that
I
broadcast
can't.
Live to another audience? And
yeah.
You were getting the response through an earpiece maybe?
But how do people lie to themselves? And you, like you say, it does take time to become that killer. And we were talking about Freddie Soto and him and Bobby started together. And just like Freddie, in his eyes, found it first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
fine. That happens.
Yeah. I remember him and I would get the same laughs, and then he used to crush.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, crush hard, and I would get smattering of laughs, and I literally thought to myself, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I gotta figure this out. When I wish I could go back in time and tell my younger self, that just keep doing what you're doing. You don't have to get worried about it.
It's not a race.
Yeah, you don't have to like get because I used to stay up at night just self-obsessed.
Yeah.
And waste all that fucking time, you know? So it's like, so a lot of it's progression, and it's inevitable if you have, you know what I mean, the skill set to do it or the talent to do it. But a lot of people are doing it when they don't have the talent, and they're just a waste of stage time.
Yeah.
Now, how long?
40%.
Would you give
waste
people?
Of stage time?
Yes.
You think it's 40%?
I think so.
That's pretty low.
I mean, that's low for me. Like, you know,
especially for Rick.
Typically, I would have been like 90%.
But I was very proud of him right now.
Yeah. Wow.
He must have had a positive day. He had a positive drive here.
I still think 90% of comedians aren't funny.
Okay. Mm.
But I understand that that's my sense of humor.
Got it.
Right.
But I think truthfully, there's 40% of comedians who nobody finds funny. And it's like that mystery of like,
God,
what the fuck?
Like 20 of them.
Yeah, like what possesses you? Because like you're saying, you got to keep working at it. But some of these people have been doing this shit for 20 years. And you're like, at what point are you going to understand? Like,
so how do we do that? Do you think there should be like a camp? Like, hey, guys.
We need to do a quarantine reality show. It's called America's Not Talented. And...
Well, we have to go to Mitzi's motto, and Mitzi's motto was it's a sin to support mediocrity.
I don't encourage mediocre talent.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And it's like, you know, that's number one. Number two, it's just like, I think it's a sin as a comic to go to somebody who obviously doesn't have it and to go, keep going. No, you have it. And, you know, sometimes you would say stuff like that just to be a nice person and not to hurt anyone's feelings. But that's a disservice.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we have to be a little bit more honest.
Yeah, I can't even encourage someone if they're good at comedy but an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm just willing to discourage people. It's probably not for you.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've had to survive in this business is a lot of guys that I knew that when they had nothing or when they were starting, because I've been at the Comedy Store for 25 years, since 95. You know, we've been on each other. So, when I come to the Comedy Store, it is literally, I feel like it's my church, it's my home. If this ever went away, it would destroy me. No matter what I do in my life.
Yeah.
This has to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of comics when, you know, Adam Egit took over, were told not to even call in because
they're not good.
I don't think that's even the case. I think some cases it's like, you know, he called some people that were like a little too old.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wants to bring young people in, which is fair.
I get that. But also, Tommy was doing that.
Tommy was doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's a. You know, the Comedy Store is not a place for our audiences
evolve.
Are young. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and you have to learn
relate.
To pivot too. Yeah. You have to learn to pivot.
And if you're doing the same bits, even if they do okay, you're doing the same bits you did in 87.
Yeah.
That shit's, it's got to go.
Yeah. But the comedy, so, you know.
It's very rare that they keep it together. Like, Dom Herrera still kills.
Yeah, he's crushing.
He's amazing.
I walked in just now. He's crushing.
Yeah.
I walked in. He goes, so I'm watching these lesbian videos, and the crowd just loses it. I'm just like, so good.
Okay.
Don't know what he's talking about, but
who knows?
Yeah.
I think if you do comedy and you live in the result, a lot of people live in the result. Like they go, they see a life, they see D'Elia, and they see Eliza, all these people, like, you know, making real money now. Sebastian, like these are. People that are like buying compounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I went to Sebastian's house. It was like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a compound. Yeah. This is not even a house. It's an institution.
He let you in his house?
Yeah, it's like
I've been to Whitney's, everyone's house.
It's
okay,
like a $12 million
right.
house or something.
Whitney's fine. Way Sebastian,
more.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what it was, but I saw said comedian purchases, and I'm like, fuck, who was it, Seinfeld? Yeah, and I clicked on it. And I go, oh.
Sebastian, we were like, oh, shit.
That's someone I did shows with before.
Yeah. Well, it's not even that. I knew when he was waiting tables at the Four Seasons Club, right?
I remember.
Yeah,
I had to park his car then. He'd pull in, like, I need to go as soon as I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, turn it around. I got tables.
When you're a young comic
and
you're doing it because you want that, right?
Yeah.
That's generally not the reason to do it.
Right.
The reason to do it is because this is the only thing. To me, this was it. Once I did it the first time, I'm like, there's no other option.
Although you brought up Sebastian and Whitney, and both of them, are amazing. Whitney, to me, like, people wake up and say, what would Jesus do? And I say, what would Whitney do?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to me, she's that good.
She's so good.
She's so smart. Mm-hmm. She, like,
and business
Tommy
savvy.
Tommy used to say, well, she's industry savvy, you know?
Yeah.
The industry likes her.
She was. She knew what to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She knew. Like, I sit and I punch myself. Like, I have no idea what to fucking do.
Well, she had Barry Katz.
But Sebastian, too. Mm-hmm. Sebastian would bang his head against the wall. Like, how do I fucking make this, make it, whatever.
Yeah, but I think in those cases, though, they're not, like, sitting down with a gigantic piece of paper and going, this is the route.
But they kept doing, and they kept doing it. In the right,
you keep trying,
right?
That's yeah. Because I remember when Sebastian was calling me, going, "How can I get on Chelsea Lately?"
Right,
and then going to Michael Cox.
And she used to open for him.
Yeah, and Michael Cox going, "He's just not right for the show." And then you know what I mean. And then I'm pretty sure he was wrong, but yeah, you know what I mean. But yeah, but he would say that. He goes, "He's just not. I'm not into it." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like
that's what they said about me over at Spade.
I know, really.
Same.
Yeah.
I did it,
and then I was like, hey, can I get booked again? Because I saw some people that I don't respect at all getting booked again. And Adam was like, no. I go, really? And he's like, no, they're just not interested. You know, they're going to go for diversity or people with followings. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but you can't take that personally, right?
I agree.
I think I you agree, can take yeah. anything personally.
I know, but I don't think it's healthy to take that specific thing personally, because...
I'm not a healthy person.
I know.
but
fair,
it's
but,
one of those things where I'm just like, all right, I mean.
But Rick, I'm going to tell you something, and I've told you this how many times? For 10 years, I've been fucking telling you, you're a slow burn. Okay? You have guys, like, I remember when, in 1996, I did a show with Doug Stanhope. Ooh. And Stanhope and I did, they used to do this thing called Fourth and B. In downtown San Diego, which was,
that.
It was like, they would go to every company and just paper this room, and 1,400 people would show up. But like, we would just all be able to go up.
Wow.
But they wouldn't pay us that much.
Right.
But it was like stadium kind of like performing.
Sure.
And I did a show with Doug, and Doug didn't do that well. Right. And I remember thinking to myself, watching him, going, God, this guy's so clever and so edgy and so good. And
they're not seeing it.
And they're not seeing it. But I thought to myself, this is a slow burn guy. This guy is eventually going to amass this gigantic following. You're the same thing, right? You're not one of these guys that, like, you're not sexy, bro.
No shit.
You know what I mean?
At all.
But what I have to do say... What I have to say is that, and I really mean this, and I've told you this before, I honestly think you're one of the best guys at the store.
I appreciate it.
Easily. I really do.
I think what you're saying is true, and proof I have of that is I went to the pharmacy about 2 months ago, and the guy at the pharmacy was like, hey, I saw you at the Comedy Store the other night. And I was like, oh, cool. And this is all the way out in Agora Hills, so it's not like this dude drove to come to the Comedy Store. I go, oh, that's cool. He goes, yeah, me and my friends, we're big Chris D'Elia fans.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, right on. And he goes, yeah, I think we might have actually laughed more at you, but like, Chris is just fucking so good looking. And I'm just standing there waiting for my fucking insulin. Like,
yeah.
Why would you tell me that
you
part?
You're not a diabetic.
Why would you mention that he's way better looking than me?
You know what happened last night with Chris D'Elia?
No.
That was hysterical,
by the way, but go ahead.
Oh, you saw it last night? So I bring him on stage and we do a little banter, right? About the texting or whatever, right? I forgot what the actual bit was, but there was, you could tell that the audience was like, oh, they're friends. That's what you got out of the thing,
yeah.
Right? So then, like, 45 minutes later, these two, like, frat jockey guys come up to me in the patio, and they're wide-eyed. And they go, you know Chris D'Elia? I go, what do you mean? Because you guys did the banter, like, so you're friends with, you know him? I go, yeah, bitch, he knows me, bitchy bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows me as well, bitchy bitch.
Yeah, I'm the legend here.
Is my reaction, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean?
Chris knows me.
Yeah, but, you know.
Did you get Chris in the store?
Probably.
No.
He came in on his own.
Well,
Chris.
I'll take credit for Brody.
I pushed a lot for Chris and Whitney.
I brought Brody in.
And I wasn't even a regular when I was pushing for them.
That's
Brody's
a good one.
The best.
Brody, and who else did I bring in? couple of other people.
Who else?
I mean, Kevin Christie.
We've had Kevin probably 30 people go, well, Bobby Lee got me in. And I always go, Bobby!
He's saying I'm a nice guy. I said, I know. Everybody tells us.
Are there people that I brought in that you don't think that I should have brought in?
Probably. I can't remember at this point but there's got to have been. The amount of people who have said you helped them get in here, there had to be a handful of them. I'm just like, that motherfucker.
Some of it was pussy related.
Sure. That always makes sense to me.
Yeah. Am I the only one that did that?
Done it for pussy?
No, for dick. Have you done it for dick ever?
No.
Oh.
Well, I remember Chris D'Elia, though. It was Steve Ranazzisi, and I said, this guy's really good. And we do a lot of shows at the Ha Ha together. And Steve's like, are you trying to suck his dick? I'll get him a showcase.
It's the best club in town.
I go, no, he's just a nice guy. Like, he's genuinely a nice person.
Yeah.
And like, he never, all the times we would be hanging out and going up, he was never like hitting on girls. It was always after.
He's a genuinely good dude.
He never fucked around with comics.
Comes from a good family.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, they're all good people.
They're good people, yeah. Yeah, I've never had anything negative. I love him. He's like a good friend of mine.
People genuinely get angry at me when they're like, what do you think about Chris D'Elia? And I'm like, Chris is good. They're like, yeah but. I'm like, no, you know, he gets great laughs, nice dude. And they're like, but. I'm like, no, I don't
literally
honestly have anything
have
to say.
Nothing bad to say.
No, but only that is he's not one of those, you know, I remember Steve Trevino had a conflict with D'Elia.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? And Trevino was basically saying, like, you know, I don't have a daddy who's a producer.
I hate that angle.
Yeah.
And I pulled Steve aside. And let me say this, too. Steve Trevino is very funny, and he's very successful, and I love him dearly. He did drop me. Did I ever tell you about the dick thing where he dropped me off on the freeway?
No.
No, please do. Are we allowed?
Yeah. When I was in years ago. Many, many years ago, I didn't know him, and he lived in Houston, and he got to MC for Mencia, who I was opening
for.
That's
where Freddie would tell me some crazy stories about being on the road with Trevino.
Yeah, and then so Trevino picked me up at the airport, and I don't know why, but I started masturbating.
In the car.
In the back seat, just as a joke.
You gotta freak him out.
I know, but at the time, I thought it was funny.
Hey, listen.
Before you figured out.
Listen.
I didn't think it.
Hey, he's following in the footsteps of legends like Louis C.K. This is the way the best of the business handle business.
Right, okay.
And then he
makes sense.
Trevino vomited,
as
pulled on the side of the freeway, and drops me off.
Dude.
And I have to walk on the freeway by myself.
The ultimate heterosexual.
I don't know.
Mexican, is that another dude's penis?
But it was just a joke, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, cut to when Trevino was accusing because of the nepotism, right? I have to defend Chris. We all saw Chris over many, many years do open mics
and wait
in line and bomb and keep trying, experimenting.
Yeah.
And he's always been a hard worker. And so that doesn't play. And that's what I told him. Yeah.
Yeah. There are no shortcuts. And also, like, Chris, years ago, you remember my friend Lauren Pelt?
Oh, yeah.
Cute little, we waited tables together here for a long time. Well, she was an agent. And Chris sent a tape in and it said Comedy Store. And Lauren was like, let me see it.
Yeah.
Like a twat. And here's a circle of agents talking about, hey, should we sign this guy?
Yeah.
And Lauren, like, she was asking questions. He came in and he goes, oh, yeah, I go to the Comedy Store all the time. And she goes, what room?
Oh, wow.
And he said, the belly room. And she was like, okay. And then she turned to the head guy and said, he's not a regular. And they didn't sign him.
Brilliant.
But I'm saying, if this kid was so fucking...
Is she an agent there anymore?
And now she's a secretary.
Exactly.
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know. Something's buzzing in my ear.
If D'Elia's career was just based on doing guest episodes of Boston Legal, then you could be like, he's only getting this because his dad is...
Exactly.
But the dude has had like seven comedy specials now.
Yeah, that's exactly
what it is. They're not just giving out comedy specials to guys who are like, His dad directed an episode of Northern Exposure I was a producer on, so give him another special. Throw him another $1 million.
Could have called Abrams Artists and said, hey, one, fire that shit agent, and then two, sign my son. Abrams Artists. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a...
Yeah, so I was with them for a while, but anyway.
Sorry.
Could either one of you get me in over there?
Warren burnt all my goddamn bridges.
God damn it.
You don't have an agent yet?
I never have.
I know, but now I feel like you can get one.
Maybe. I don't know.
Why now? Because of the ringers?
I think because of the ringers, and I think that you can't get one. That's a nice TV credit.
Yeah, I don't think anyone cares about doing 5 minutes on Comedy Central.
Have you sent the tape into anybody to see if they would sign you?
No, I haven't.
Well, then there you go. You have to try.
Yeah, I mean, are people still... Is someone still going to get representation from sending in a tape to someone?
Yeah, but you're
it's got to be a recommendation.
I got to be honest. I'm not going to be... I don't want to be negative. Look, he took the thing.
No, I'm just... His is so loud. That's his voice. Why is your voice so loud in my thing?
I don't know.
Josh.
I don't even know where.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying it's not as easy as like, hey, I was on this, you know.
It's different in his case though.
You do have to be recommended.
It's not different in his case. Cuz let me just, okay.
I'm listening.
We're listening.
You're not a fucking new paid regular at the store, right?
Right.
You've survived several regimes here, mm-hmm. Which is very difficult to do. We know a lot of comics that when a new talent coordinator comes to the Comedy Store, that they have their own idea about what they want. But you've always been a guy that they've always wanted. So that number one should be
cockroach of comedy,
right?
Always
I'm
survive
the same too. Yeah. I feel like I can survive. You're a survivor as well.
I'm a survivor.
Nuclear winters.
Yeah. So number two, we survived regimes. Number two is now that you have Bill Burr and All Things Comedy and people anointing you, going, this is legit. Because I felt that me and Paulie had been talking about you for years.
Yeah.
Right. So now that you have that,
Paulie's
right,
a big fan.
Yeah. So am I,
dude. Right? I'll put you on the YouTubes.
I know, but I think that if you just did one little tiny, just let's just see.
Yeah.
Right. Because I don't see you asking around either. Are you asking around? I feel like your ego is not the type that's going to go to other comics and go, hey, do you think that, you know,
I don't think it's ego. I do feel like a fucking like a slimy creep asking
people
for help.
No, for referrals. You're not asking for help. You're asking for a referral.
But that is help.
That doesn't matter.
It just makes me feel...
You have what to sell. It's not like, hey, can you get me in your agency? Get me this, get me that. You know what I mean? You have the talent. So is that... Am I wrong?
That's what I'm saying. Am I crazy? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, here's another thing you can do then. There's a second way to approach it.
Invite him out?
No. I think what you're doing can also be good. You're just, because of the slow burn thing, and you're slowly getting things, you know? For me, it's like, I used to freak the fuck out when Ken Jeong got the hangover, because he used to be my doctor. I went to his wedding, and we did tours together and stuff like that. But when he blew the fuck up, I thought to myself, oh, you know what I mean? He's the guy now. And then there's always a new, Jimmy O-Yang, he's the new guy. But then I kind of step back and go, no, I've always done this, right? It seems like it's a straight line, but it's slowly upwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And so it's like, for me, it's like, I'm just going to stay in the pocket that I am, because every year I just make a little bit more money. Every year I do something higher elevated or something new. And so I don't really kind of sweat, you know, what other people are doing or what other Asians are doing or any other comic.
It's good that you don't sweat that. You shouldn't.
I don't, because I feel like I've done enough.
Yeah.
And you've done enough to not grovel and beg.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that also can be the right path.
Yeah. I mean, he's also a white male, so he's unbookable.
It's hard. Yeah. It's harder. Yeah.
Yeah, I really should have gotten successful about 10 years ago, so that way I could get in when it was still okay to be a straight white guy.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
Now, I mean, that's kind of part of what like Adam was saying with the the lights out thing. And it's not even that big of a deal, but it's just like, he's like, we have straight white guys. They're famous.
Yeah.
Right. We don't need unfamous straight white guys. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And he's like my biggest supporter. So I feel like.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he's on Rick's side.
If he could, he would. He's just like, Comedy Central's not going to go for
it. But you did do that Lights Out one time.
I did it twice.
You did twice, yeah. Right?
I only did it once.
You did the Ringers,
yep.
Right? So those are three televised things that you could edit together to put on a reel.
Easily,
right? I'm sorry, but it's like, you know, coronavirus got realer when Tom Hanks got it.
Yeah,
right,
it sure did.
Right.
How about the NBA being canceled?
Yeah, that got realer.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'm saying is that you can be as funny as you can be on a regular club tape, right? It just doesn't have the same effect as a TV tape.
Sure.
Right? Because it's
professionally shot. And it's like,
psychological. You're there with other famous people. You're there with Spade. It just looks, you know what I mean? So
sure.
I just think that if you cut those three things together, right, not to send it to anybody, but just to have it so that when the time comes, you do a spot, somebody, some agent goes or some manager goes, hey, can I see a tape, that you can already have it so that you're not going, well, in 3 weeks, because they could forget then, right? So just have it. You can easily get somebody to edit some of these pieces of shits back here. You know?
So many
Todd's
pieces
not
of
a
shit.
Piece of shit. He's a good guy. Yeah, well,
These great Christians back here. Yeah. These good,
amen.
Yeah, good,
amen.
Good guys. You know, so, my bad. I love you, man.
That's Josh. He's nothing.
He's nothing. Yeah. But I just think that, you know, if you just do that.
All right.
I like that it always
you
turns
and your
into
fucking
a Rick, this is your life kind of segment.
Bobby's the only one who gives me advice. Everyone else is just like, yeah, don't worry. And then they walk away and they're like, what a fucking idiot.
No, because you're an anomaly.
But it's true. It's like
you
a manager came in here and he fell in love with Rick. And he's a manager.
Oh.
And
I thought he said Amanda. I'm like, who the fuck is Amanda?
Wants to fuck
my wife. My wife's going to want to know about this.
Sorry, Corinne.
I got to go up in 3 minutes.
They knock for you?
No, yeah? But at 10 o'clock I go
Josh,
up.
Josh, you'll go check? Make sure, yeah. I mean, no, because if they need you now, if he's lit, you should go up.
Okay.
We're not going to do that to you.
No, I'm going to go up. I don't give a fuck about
everything.
This.
Amen.
How dare you?
And I love it.
He
here.
Said he felt like obligated to do it because I texted him.
That's nice.
Even the live one that you
That's
did, like
person.
I just went, I'm going to be there.
You did. And then when you walked in, I'm like, no. He's going to know what a failure we are.
I hate it. I hate live ones, but it's
that was the most embarrassing thing ever. And your take on it was right, because everyone was playing for the laugh.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's
but it was sad because there's only six people there. So
what does that mean? What? How
About many? 6 minutes, Bobby.
Okay,
six minutes.
Okay, good. I just farted.
Oh,
sorry.
You motherfucker. Now we all have corona.
Yeah, please.
Me,
Adam Carolla virus. That's the thing I'm really scared of.
Somebody was like, why don't you have Carolla on your podcast?
And you said, because I want Rick to show up occasionally.
Yeah. You should have Dr. Drew here soon.
He's not a Comedy Store paid
He's a regular.
Wait. You have to be a paid regular to play?
Yes.
I did not know that.
It's a Comedy Store podcast.
Oh.
You could have employees-ish.
All right.
But I wouldn't do like employee, like people that aren't past, like the people that want to get.
If Johnny Depp showed up, I'd let him be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only because Doug Stanhope would vouch.
Yeah.
And
he went on
Doug's
stage once with Matt Edgar in the main room briefly,
so that
counts.
Do you think it's harder to get past now here at the Comedy Store than when Mitzi
Hell
was?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you think so?
It's harder because
there's more.
Adam takes it very seriously, and so he basically, he'll pass like 7-8 people a year.
Yeah.
Mitzi was tough because some people, no matter how hard they crush, she just would never pass.
Well, she would say they were too polished.
Yeah.
And they didn't need her.
Right.
But she was around a lot and she didn't feel like she owed the club something. So if she just wanted to pass someone, she saw Jimmy and Joey go up and, you know, she said, oh, they're great.
Pass
I know. I
she
know.
Passed them. And then
Remember those? Jeremy Dingle.
Dingle.
Yeah. Cheryl Lawrence, Vendetti.
I like Cheryl Vendetti.
I like Cheryl. She's great.
Frankie Lemmerman.
Lemmerman was my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hello, Bobby Lee. I'm going up to Pauly Shore's hot tub. You should come.
Yeah. Well, there was an Indian guy. I forgot what that
Anand Shalani.
Anand Shalani.
Anand Shalani. I wouldn't even do I don't know.
He would do like six minutes and then bail every time.
Oh my God. One
time. And always record it.
On a
always.
Saturday night, right? He was before me. I'm in the hallway. And he goes up. 3 minutes in, he goes, Bobby. From the stage.
No.
He goes, Bobby. And I look in and he goes, I'm done, Bobby. And he hasn't had the light.
Yeah.
And I remember yelling, going, do your time.
And he was like, I literally can't do my time.
Do your fucking time.
What do you think happened?
I'm filming my set tonight.
He's directing something.
He's got to be a producer.
He directed Slumdog Millionaire.
He's probably...
What happened?
He's probably in charge of Comedy Central now.
No, I think he's probably doing like, he's at Boeing.
He's an engineer, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing something else.
He went back.
Yeah, he went back to what he was supposed to be doing.
Did okay. I remember watching the first time watching.
I'm going to go.
Because he said, put his camera, set up the camera.
Thank you, Bobby. Smoke,
thanks, yes. Bobby.
Thanks Bobby's for coming. Having
thank
me.
You for coming.
Call me anytime you want to, or I'll be here.
No, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore.
I'm going to keep coming for advice.
Yes, just for advice. Wait. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Rick's meat mugging.
Yeah. So he brought his camera in. The first time I saw Nonchalani, I'm like, oh, this dude's filming
like
his set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he had a tripod and a camera and a buddy that was going to press record or whatever it was. And he set it up in the back of the OR, and there was probably about 9 to maybe 15 people in the OR that night. And he went up and bombed so hard for 5 straight minutes. Like, not. Like, we talk about, like, someone bombed and they get a couple little chuckles, sure. But it's still, like, mostly silent. This dude, it was as if he didn't know the premise of telling jokes, that there was any sort of, you know, pattern to doing comedy. It was just,
right.
Like, a dude talking and then kind of looking around. That's the only way I knew that that's when the punchline was, like, him looking around, like, why is there not? And then he got down to 5, and he was like, okay, I'm going to bring up the next guy. And I'm like, what?
Do you think that that was his shtick?
No, I think he was delusional.
But it was so bad continually. And I know Mitzi probably passed him. I can't remember his showcase or his passing, but she definitely passed him because of his
ethnicity. Yeah.
And was like, okay, I'm going to change the world with these...
I could put him in the Arabian Nights show
exactly.
Or whatever it was. Yeah.
But he was Indian, though.
He was Indian.
He? Yeah.
But I think to her, it was just.
I don't
just,
have one of those.
Yeah.
You know, she needed one from everywhere.
Yeah,
like
I don't.
Freddie Lockhart would say, like Noah, you know, she had two of everything.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. He was already passed when I got here, but I just remember being like, what the fuck is this? And there was a lot of that back then.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's a lot of where you're just like, when did they stop being funny? That's what I always talk. So I'm like, they had to be funny at some point.
Yeah.
Because Mitzi is infallible, so.
Exactly. There was a lot of character-y.
Yeah.
He
could be good on a sitcom.
Right.
Yeah.
Like this guy, Rob Pyle, used to like put, like he would wear the nerd glasses with the tape in the middle.
Hilarious.
Dude, he would fucking slay.
Ugh.
He would slay. And he would shake and sweat. I'm like, does he have a fucking button? It would run down his face. He was fucking hilarious.
I've seen his headshot.
Yes.
He's Rob a pile Pyle. Of garbage.
No, he's not. I'm sure he's doing comedy.
I don't know
somewhere.
Who he is. But
Mitzi thought
he
for
sounds
sure.
Like a cruise ship killer.
He's bringing corona to everybody.
Spreading it as quickly as possible.
Do you believe Tom Hanks?
That's great news.
That's great because that means a vaccination's coming faster.
They're going to fix this now. We're not going to let modern-day Jimmy Stewart suffer through the coronavirus.
This is like if men could get pregnant. This is like, we're gonna put a stop to this.
Yeah, so
real quick.
The FDA is like, forget about trials. Just get the cure out there now. Send it to Australia. Hanks needs it. What about Rita? Fuck Rita. Give both cures to Tom.
Try everything on Tom first. I ran into, you know, Yoshi.
Nope.
You don't know Yoshi?
I don't know who that is. Oh, the dinosaur from Mario Brothers?
No, I'm okay. Not going to finish this sentence if that's who you think. He's a comic.
I don't know
he
who that is.
He tours all over. He tours with Russell Peters. He used to give out. Like,
not my cup of tea then.
You would like him. You would like him a lot. And he's a cool guy, but I didn't know he does this. He goes and gets tested. Like, you know, he volunteers to have them test drugs on him because Japanese which I another thing I didn't know, take medicine better than most people. So they like to try medicine out on.
He does like clinical trials for stuff.
Yes. And he's
what a poor piece of shit.
I'm like, I'm worried. I'm like, oh my God, should we? But he said he does it a lot.
That's terrible.
But that's what I'm saying. It's happening.
There are prisoners all over this country that to run these tests on.
That's what I'm saying. But they, you have to be healthy. You have to be a certain, you know, you have to pass all kinds of.
Yeah.
So obviously he's healthy enough to
infect. People are losing their fucking minds.
It really is crazy. Did you buy a lot of toilet paper this week?
No. I mean, I have a lot of toilet paper in general.
Smart.
So I'm not too concerned about it. I have gallons and gallons of water just because we buy shit in bulk.
Smart.
So but,
did they, OJ, I saw that.
Me and OJ, obviously, we've been thick as thieves since 2004. And even when he was locked up, I was just loading up, storing things for him.
Thinking about him.
Yeah, just yeah. Juice, when you get out, you're going to be supplied double ply. Mega rolls.
I saw that picture. He had the mask and like a big thing. I'm like, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. When I saw the NBA thing today and I read what happened, I was dying laughing.
What do you
thought
mean?
Thought of that. So they suspended the season because Rudy Gobert tested positive.
Okay.
So he's the center for the Utah Jazz. So 2 hours before his test came back, he was listed as questionable for the game with illness, and he was giving a press conference, and one of the reporters said, what do you think about everything going on with the coronavirus? Are you concerned that you have it? He said, this is how concerned I am. And then he walked, and he touched every single reporter's microphone in the room, one at a time, just to prove a point that he doesn't think he has it, and he's not concerned about it. And then 2 hours later, the trainer for the Oklahoma City Thunder ran into the arena onto the floor seconds away from opening tip-off and told the referees they needed to cancel the game because the dude's test just came back positive. And then all the reporters were like, he touched my microphone earlier. He made
airborne.
It a point. Like, he made it a point
all
to touch.
All you have to do is breathe.
Yeah. And so they had to suspend the season because that guy in the last 10 days has played six different teams. And that means there's six teams that are all possibly contaminated, and you can't just have six teams sit out. So everyone's got to sit out because
Curry was questionable too, wasn't he?
He was, but his test came back negative.
Okay, he's just sick.
Yeah, so he just had the flu or whatever. But
my problem is anybody that gets like a cough, they're going to be like, oh my God, I'm dying. Like,
yeah,
it's like a group of Italians and Jews.
Listen, there's too much bureaucracy in this country, and the fact that you can't just light every Italian person on fire and let them burn to death is a goddamn shame.
They're like, we got to go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Jews are like that, too.
Well, that's in general, though.
In a hospital the other night.
Yeah. I mean,
so crazy.
That's for anything. That's not just because there's a pandemic going on. It's just in general, like, did you just cough?
Hypochondriac.
We should probably put you in some sort of quarantine. But yeah, you know, I've been picking on all the Asian people in the crowds the last couple of weeks
about it. That's nice of you.
Just go, oh, what kind of Asian
not
are
even
you?
Chinese. That's like,
doesn't
anyone?
Matter.
Okay.
So where are you? Oh, Korea. Yeah. A couple of cases there. How you feeling? have you done your temperature today? If anyone who's sitting around and wants to just maybe take a little walk, find a different seat, I'll completely understand. No one's going to accuse you of racism.
My God, Rick.
But you got to really push the limits.
Well, that's another thing. Somebody was like, oh, if you say the virus started in China, Wuhan, and you're racist. And I'm like,
that's where it started.
That's where it started. Like, I'm not being racist. It sucks.
I asked Feng Chao.
If it started in Philadelphia, I'd fucking say my people did this.
Yeah, well, I do think it's funny that Trump, he's such a nationalist. Today in his press conference, he kept referring to it as the foreign virus, just to push the idea that it's a foreigner invading our land.
Borders are important.
We're going to build a wall around this virus.
Put that China wall back up.
I asked Feng Chao about it because I'm just trying to get the inside scoop on Wuhan.
Sure, I asked him too. And
he said, I go, what's the deal? Are they poor there? Yeah, there's poor people, but the girls there are sluts. That's all I needed to hear.
Okay. Is that how it started?
Yeah. Or? Well, just in general, I think it just means there's a lot of, you know, ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous in that region. So you know, some chick's out there eating bat heads.
Right.
And then the next night she's getting, you know, triple tagged.
Yeah.
You know, there's human centipedes going on. This shit spreads quickly.
Sure.
That's why everyone's buying the toilet papers, because of the post-human centipede, you know, millennial
Are people
Wuhan
shitting
citizens.
Themselves? I don't understand what's happening.
It's literally just...
I live alone, so I have plenty if you guys need.
It's literally just people start freaking out and they start going, what am I going to need if I'm going to be locked inside my house for the next 3 months? Better make sure I have enough toilet paper. And then someone sees someone else buying toilet paper and they go, oh shit, I don't want to be the only one without toilet paper.
Jesus Christ.
So because some dumb asshole decided there's not even really, like, diarrhea is not even one of the main signs of this virus, so it's ridiculous.
I can't imagine. I don't understand.
The point is, people are fucking retarded.
And they're like on Amazon, it like spiked up, like as far as selling things for like $70 per Purell. I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're going after all the people who did price gouging now.
Anybody who did
Amazon
that should die.
Amazon's
of Corona and then some.
Legitimately turning in people who price gouged.
Good.
So,
as they should.
They have some sort of a algorithm that shows like how much a price increases, and if it goes above 15%, I think is what it said, then it notifies someone at Amazon, hey, this person just raised their price by 25%. And in some of the cases, it was being raised by like 500%. So,
Jesus, I'm so angry over this shit. But we still do comedy. See, I'm worried about, I'm just going to go on there and sell my toilet paper for
Smart.
A high amount if we
people
stop working.
Yeah, people keep going.
Are
they going to
stop? Are we going to become squatters at that point?
We might. I mean, I'm legitimately doomed. If they stop the comedy store for a while, like I don't get booked anywhere. So my comedy career is essentially over. And it is interesting. People kept saying, I wonder when the comedy boom will end. This might be it. Comics aren't going to be able to tour.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be in Portland first week of April, and
yeah, we'll see.
That's Oregon's pretty hit pretty hard. Seattle, Washington, the whole state of Washington is shut down.
Yeah,
I mean,
the good news is it's mostly old people dying, and if there is a demographic of people we don't need, it's old people. They're just wasting air.
So happy to be old.
They're not providing any purpose for society, Eleanor.
That's not true.
They use our resources.
My mama's old and she makes me laugh.
Well, yeah, laughter. You're great for laughter. They say racist things because they're from a different time.
That's my dad.
If we could preserve the good ones,
okay,
I'm okay with that. Okay. What I'm saying is we need to get rid of 95% of the over 80 population.
Sure. I got to call my dad and ask him what he thinks of this whole thing. That'd be a fun conversation.
I'm sure he'll understand, especially since the Asian markets are the hardest hit right now. Right. He probably has a hand in this whole thing.
Possibly. He once told me that, hey, girl, I killed a lot of Chinese in the Korean War. And I'm like, I think you were doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, not technically.
Well, now
I mean, there was a lot of Chinese fighting on behalf of North Korea.
Now
so.
But
he
first,
was right.
When he said it, I was like,
this
Dad?
Doesn't seem, yeah.
Because I was young and I was like, oh my God. But then I was like, oh, okay. But he said a lot.
What was your, what branch was your?
Marine.
Yeah, my grandpa too. I wonder if they
Sickos.
were killing Chinamen together.
Possibly. Him and his best friend, my dad's crazy friend Curly. So funny.
God, I like, what's your dad's name?
Charlie.
Charlie, Curly, and Dick.
Charlie.
They could have really, Dick O'Brien.
Charlie, Curly, and Dick.
They
could have
been
Stooges of Korea.
The Korean War Stooges. I don't know if there's any producers out there, but let's
Come
sell
on,
this
guys.
Sitcom.
Charlie, Curly, and Dick. I can't even say it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Are
times.
You on after Bobby?
Yeah.
All right, let's close this up. 10-10. That's good luck to close on that.
Hi.
Do you have anything to promote? I mean, hopefully the store will still be open.
We're hoping. If not, I will legitimately be performing on the street in front of the comedy store. So please come by me and Boone Shakalaka. We'll be selling goods. check out Embrace the Hate on all the other podcast networks. That's it. That's the only
Embrace
thing
the Hate. You're still doing it?
I'm still doing it.
I'm so excited.
I'm like
for
four
you.
Episodes in.
And it's just you or you and Matt?
It's me and Nost. We
I love it.
When I interviewed him here for the Comedy Store podcast over Christmas or something.
Yeah.
We just started talking. I'm like, we should just do this again.
It's so good. It's so smart.
We film it. We do it over at Collider. And
what's that?
It's like a website.
Nice.
They do like movie stuff, but they just let us use their studio and
it's great.
Film it so we can put it on the YouTubes. And,
check it out because I'm sure it's hilarious. Embrace the hate.
It's just two white straight guys just hating. It's perfect for Trump's America.
Pure hate. I love it. Yeah, and hopefully I'll be in Philadelphia. It's all on my website. You got to go check it out. I'm at Parks Casino with Dice on the 21st, but better than that, on the 19th and 20th, I'm doing two local shows, the Philadelphia Delco area, one at Gatsby in Aston, and the other one is at the
Hannah Gatsby? Hannah Gatsby's Nanette Theater.
It's not Hannah Gatsby. No. It's Gatsby's in Aston, Pennsylvania. And then DeFabio's, my brother Johnny. I forget where it is. I'll have to look it up. It's all on my website. All that stuff. Mountain Dew is not our sponsor, but we wouldn't.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. All that dew taste, plus a little bit more diarrhea.
Do the dew if you have the toilet paper to do. No?
That sounds good for me. Hey, thanks for
rate, subscribe, all that shit.
Watching,
Josh,
listening.
Josh doesn't want. He says no. Get the fuck out.
Cancelled.
Fucking canceled.
Do they wipe down these microphones before we talked into them?
Probably not. Look,
damn
Bobby
it.
Lee farted. He touched me with open toes.
All
shoes,
sorts of
so
weird homeless transgender people use these. All right. Have a good night.
Thank you.